So as I said at the beginning of this service, today we're thinking of Adoption Sunday. We're thinking of the fact that each and every one of us are adopted by God. If we're walking with Jesus and we're adopted into God's family, and we'll be talking more about that later. We're thinking about the children, the young people in this country, in our community, who are adopted, who are fostered, those who are in need of adoption and in need of fostering, and everything that comes from that. It's difficult. It's not an easy thing to talk about. It's difficult because in church, I think we like to be shiny Christians, don't we? We like everything to be perfect. We like everything to be just right. And it's a bit uncomfortable when we remind ourselves that life isn't like that. That life isn't shiny and perfect. Sometimes life is messy. And I don't know what feelings might come up for you this morning on Adoption Sunday. I don't know what experiences you've had, if you've had any at all, with adoption and fostering and the care system and everything that goes along with that. Maybe you've had some hard experiences. Maybe you've had some sad experiences. Maybe you're holding anger. You're holding sadness. You're holding despair. Maybe it's been a joyful thing in your life. I don't know. But it's important this morning, I think, that we're honest with God. So with all that being said, as we come honestly. And that's what I want us to do this morning as we explore just something of what it means to be adopted children of God. And one of my favourite stories in the Bible is that of Moses. There he is on the screen. It's a complicated, messy, difficult story. It's quite a few chapters. It goes up and down and all over the place. And it involves betrayal. You've got a bit of murder. You've got him running away. You've got family issues. You know, this guy who was born a Hebrew, brought up by Pharaoh's household, but also kind of brought up by his birth mum as well. And then he grows up and he says, look, guys, I'm called to be, to rescue you from Egypt. I'm called to do that to you Hebrews, you fellow Hebrews. And they say, no, we don't really know who you are. We don't really believe that you're a Hebrew, actually, Moses. And so there's part of him that is Hebrew but not accepted, and there's another part of him that, you know, he can't deny his background, where he comes from, the royal household where he was brought up. It's a tough story. It's a difficult one. We haven't got time to go through it all today. But above all, it's about a God who loves and who holds and who never lets go. Moses, as a baby, born into a family under persecution. For his own safety, his mum put him out on a basket on the river. Imagine how desperate she would have been. Imagine how sad she must have been, how angry she must have been, the turmoil that was going on inside as she laid her son in the basket and let him down the river, because she knew that that was for his own safety, for his best interest, putting him in the basket. This is a picture of Kimberly and I a few years ago meeting our son, little A. Little A we'll call him because this is being recorded. Little A meeting him for the first time. And this is a picture of us meeting him with his foster carers. And they've become a major part of our family, actually. They love Jesus. They were praying for him at all. During the time they were loving him and having him as part of the family, they were prophesying over him, they were taking him to church and bringing him up in a community of faith. They've become part of our family. They are our family. This is a picture of Sarah, and like Moses' mum, she loved little A. She still loves him. But she knew at this moment that it was best for him to join our family. And in many ways, this was like her putting Moses in the basket. This was a similar thing, putting him in the basket. I hear lots of people say, oh, I couldn't foster because I'd love them too much to let them go. And I often want to say something to that that's not particularly a Christian response. That's definitely not something I should say in church, because of course it's hard to let them go. I mean, you never really let them go, but I know what they mean by that. But of course it's hard, and there'd be something wrong with you if you found it really easy. But it's putting the children's best interests first. It's putting the children's need for a family above your need to love. It's sacrifice. It's doing what Moses' mum did and putting him in the basket and letting him go, trusting God. This is a picture of us meeting him for the first time and Sarah trusting us to look after the boy that she looked after almost since he was born. She truly sought justice, looked to defend the oppressed, and took up our cause, as our Bible reading told us today in Isaiah. A few days after this meeting, we had another really emotional meeting with Arthur's birth mum and birth dad. And it was a tough time. It was a tough half an hour. It was emotional. There were two kids really struggling with life. And they loved their little boy. But they knew, and in fact they said to us, it's best for him to go with you. You can offer him something that we can't. An example, again, of them putting him in the basket. Little A had many people, even before we were around, who were taking up his cause, who were fighting for him, health professionals, social workers, foster carers, church friends, fighting his cause, because no one else would. They can't speak up for themselves, so someone else needs to speak up for them. And little E too, our daughter, been with us a year and a half now. She's had social workers seeking justice, health professionals fighting her corner, and finally we were privileged enough to join them in taking up her cause. Because you know what, each and every one of us that walk with Jesus, that would call ourselves Christians, we have been adopted into God's family. The Bible tells us in Romans, it says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are who? The children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again, but the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. What a glorious truth for those of us that are walking with Jesus, that before he created the universe, he planned to adopt us into his family, that it brings him joy. What pleasure he took in doing this, the Bible says, to adopt us, to adopt you, to adopt me into his family, that we can be children of the King. And today on Adoption Sunday, we're challenged to take up the cause of the fatherless, the widow, the poor, the forgotten, the abandoned, those at the bottom of the pile, because we do so knowing that God did that for us. That when I was poor and forgotten about and I'd been abandoned, when I felt like no one else was speaking out for me, God stepped down from heaven and adopted me into his family, that he welcomed me, that I could be his child. Our verse from Isaiah today challenges us to take up the cause. Isaiah 1, chapter 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. And this challenges us to take up the cause. Isaiah, writing into a situation which seemed hopeless, the northern kingdom carried into captivity, the kingdom of Judah in the middle of idolatry, enemy regions all around, kind of Game of Thrones style, threatening, jostling for power. Babylon outside, gaining power too. The people of God desperate to know, God, where are your promises? What's going to become of them? What are you going to do with us? Are you still there? And the first part of Isaiah talks about God's judgment, his expectation that despite all that might be going on to his people, he still expects them to offer true worship. What does this worship look like? Well, it's not music. It's not sacrifice. It's not incense. We read at the beginning of chapter 1 what he thinks of that. But it's learning to do right. It's seeking justice. It's defending the oppressed. It's taking up the cause. How often do I put this kind of worship first? How often do I take up the cause of God's heart? You know, I'm a card-carrying charismatic. I like nothing more than an hour, 2 hours of lively worship in a big tent where you sense the presence of God. But is that worship in its true sense? Because it's not particularly sacrificial, because I love doing it. But Isaiah challenges us that actually worship is sacrifice. It's putting others first. It's standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves in the name of Jesus. So I wonder, who do we know that God is challenging us to do right for, to seek justice for? And on Adoption Sunday today, right now, we remind ourselves there are currently 75,420 children in the care system. The number of children being taken into care is at a 10-year high. The number has increased every year since 2008. Since this service began, around 2 children will have been taken away from the family that they've known, but who can't look after them. How can we take up their cause? How do we speak out for those children? How do we come alongside those families who are struggling and finding life so difficult? There are other groups too. No doubt you know people in your community, in your friendship groups, who are like orphans, like the fatherless, who are vulnerable, who need justice. Migrant workers in our communities, trafficked sex workers, the teenagers used as drug mules, the elderly who feel alone, the single mum judged by society. We had on the news only this week a desperately horrific story of 39 looking like trafficked people, promised something different from what they received, preyed upon because they were vulnerable, economically maybe, psychologically perhaps, who knows, and who met a death that is horrific and sad. How as a church do we speak into that? How as a church do we speak into a political arena at the moment which likes to paint certain groups of society as the problem? You know this morning, my friends, who is on your heart. You know the cause that God is calling you to take up today. Maybe it's a new cause. Maybe as I'm talking and you're listening to this, maybe you're even listening online and you're feeling your heart stirred for these children in care. Maybe you're thinking about that spare room at home and all that it could do to help children who need a forever family. If that's you, I invite you to take up a flyer to think about how you can take up the cause. Or maybe there's another group on your heart. Maybe there's a marginalised group of people who, like the orphan, the widow, the fatherless, who Isaiah speak of in that century, feel forgotten, who are economically destitute. We're going to hear the story of two in our church family who took up the cause. And after that, we're going to pray. In fact, we're going to pray now. So let's pray and then we'll hear their story. Father God, we thank you that you have adopted us into your family, that you love us, that before you made the universe, you longed for us to be in your family. We pray for those children in care. We pray for those in need of a forever family. And Lord, we pray that you might stir our hearts. Would you rise up? Would you raise up Christians that would take up the cause of these vulnerable children? Would you raise up Christians who would open their homes? Lord, and if we have a spare room, if we have spare space, would you open our hearts to give them room? In Jesus' name, amen.